Welcome here, I'm Mel Sienna Medgwick. Through the miracles of Mother Mary, the heart of Venus, soul of Sophia, the magic of Mother Isis, and the holy grail of Mary Magdalene, we journey deep into the stars and the cosmos, into the ethereal realms of the heavens with the angels, where we are met by a greater wisdom, that of the mysteries of the Divine Mother and the temples of women who are empowered to use the gifts of the veil. Here we bring you a sacred home of love, soul, miracles, and magic. Sometimes our soul is seeking a divine intervention, and I feel like Natalie was an earth angel that was sent into my life at a time when I needed to have faith and trust in my own intuitive soul path and soul gifts. I had been on the spiritual path for some time, but I didn't really feel like I had anyone who was connecting to spirit the way that I was connecting to spirit. So I was feeling quite alone. One weekend, I asked my daughter if she wanted to go to the Mind Body Spirit Festival in Melbourne, and we both went together. I saw Natalie up on the stage, and she was giving readings to quite a large audience. And I just really felt a connection with her immediately. One, because she looks like an angel. But two, my heart just really resonated with hers. And my guides were like, okay, you need to connect with this beautiful woman after. So I came home, and I think I can't remember whether I just booked in the sessions or whether I emailed Natalie. After a little while, we had booked some sessions together, and Natalie came through for me basically as a guide and a teacher. And she showed me that it was okay for me to do the things that I was doing naturally, because I felt like I'd met like hundreds of people all around the world, through the UK, through the US, through all these different courses, but I didn't really feel like I had anybody who connected the way that I did. And I knew immediately when Natalie and I got onto those sessions that I was going to be okay, because I was literally ready to, I guess, give up on the path. And so she started connecting. She showed me it was okay to connect into the heavens with the angels and with the ascended masters, and to see it as a really beautiful, colorful world. Whereas previous to that, I had been with other teachers that had a very rigid way of connecting, and that really wasn't working for me. And so that's why I wanted to bring Natalie on the podcast as my first guest, because she's like an angel to me, and I know that she can help so many people on their spiritual journey as well. So welcome, Natalie.
Thank you so much, Mel. That's so lovely for you to say all of those beautiful words. And I'm so grateful to be here today. And I just feel so touched by what you've said and how the divine has brought us together on this journey. And it's been a blessing to know you and to be in this space of doing all this beautiful spiritual work. So thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming. And I guess I'll do a bit of an introduction. So Natalie Finn is a spiritual healer and teacher, a divine channel, a speaker, a medium, an intuitive coach, and mum to Michael. She is a Libran with a Pisces rising, a lover of nature, a dream igniter, and a spiritual seeker. Her heart and soul lights up seeing others connecting to their intuition, and she has guided thousands of people, helping them to connect with their own spiritual pathway. She teaches a variety of soul-nourishing events and courses, and her dream is for everyone to find peace in their life, to connect to the beauty of their soul and be guided by the divine presence of love. Natalie is also known for speaking at a range of different spiritual events, such as the Australian Mind Body Spirit Festival, where she gives talks and readings, from the angels, ascended masters, spirit guides, and departed loved ones in the spiritual world. So, Natalie, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you came onto the spiritual path?
Yeah, absolutely. My journey started when I was younger, and I connected with the spirit world from a young age with my nan, who actually passed away in the early 90s. And I would communicate with her, and I felt just her love and her presence around me. I was only quite young when she passed. So it was beautiful to have that connection at such a young age. And then later in my teenage years, I had a close friend pass away from suicide, actually. And this was, quite a challenge, I guess. And it led me, though, to then this pathway back to spirit, which, you know, at the time I was searching for answers as to why this happened. And my mum and my sister, they're really beautiful and spiritual, and they were doing Reiki at the time. So I thought, okay, well, perhaps I can gain some answers about, you know, why his soul passed away and all of that. So I ended up doing a Usui Reiki course, which through the Usui Reiki Network in Canberra. And this really opened my psychic abilities even more. And I was able to connect in with my friend who passed and really get the answers that I needed to through the mediumship. So my love of all things spiritual just kind of expanded and opened up. And it was like by doing that course and by connecting in with my friend, beautiful love just was flowing in my heart like I'd never experienced. And I wanted then to be able to help people through my mediumship abilities and for them to be able to connect in with their loved ones. I've mentioned this story a few times before, but then I went on to study law and go down that pathway and not really follow my path because I've got a bit of a rebel, I guess you could say. So I was a reluctant psychic medium on the pathway, but eventually I came back to it all and I'm really enjoying now working in this space in a full-time capacity. And, you know, during this time as well, when I lost my friend, and I would see the angels and ascended masters, and their presence was just so beautiful and divine, and I guess like euphoric would be the word that I would describe it. I remember lying in my mum's lounge room and looking up, and Archangel Michael came and visited me. And his wings were huge and his whole presence took up the entire room and space. And I was kind of taken aback, like physically. And I thought, wow, like this is real. This is beautiful. This is powerful. And this energy is really here to help me and to help others. And it just was so magical, I guess you could say. Like in my younger years too, many of the, you know, original authors from Hay House really fed my thirst for spiritual knowledge, because once I had all of these experiences, I was like, I need more of this. So I would attend like all of the, you know, the early 2000 Hay House conferences and really connect in with so many of the OGs, I guess you could call them, Wayne Dyer and, you know, Louise Hay herself. And I actually got to meet Louise Hay, and it was such a beautiful blessing to be able to meet her. But Robert Holland was a beautiful psychic who I really admire and respect as well, and many, many others on the path. But it was something that I just really connected with, I guess, that helped me on my pathway. Part of the journey as well was channeling the higher beings for, you know, hours on end and asking them every question that I could under the sun that I could think about, and how to, you know, connect with them more and what I could do to help people with their guidance. So the channeling for me was something really beautiful, and I did this for many years before I went into working in this space in a more professional or soul, you know, capacity. I never thought that I'd have a business in what I do and love. Like, it just wasn't even a thought that kind of came to my mind. But it was nice that I had so many years to just, connect and practice out of, you know, pure curiosity and a desire to learn and simply grow for my own soul. I think that was just like really such a special time for me just to be able to do that. And the universe fascinated me. And so the fact that I could see and hear these beings was just so beautiful to open up the world in a way that I just never imagined that it could be. And I guess that's why, like, I know the Ascended Masters and the angels are so real, because of the, you know, genuine and loving guidance that they've given me over the years, and then that guidance I've been able to act on, which has made my life so much better for it. I couldn't turn back. I love living a spiritual life, and it's the best thing ever. And to be able to connect with the Ascended Masters is just a true, you know, a true blessing. So it's one thing I've probably really realized though throughout my life is, no matter where life takes you, I always try to remain teachable and a student of life, and, you know, be humble and just focus on how I can serve, how I can help people, how those messages that come from those beautiful divine beings can really truly help people, you know, in their lives. And also, I feel as though there's so much more to discover as well. Like, that's the beauty of it. You know, we're forever learning and forever growing. And it's just, I wish I could channel every day, all day. Like, it's such a beautiful, you would know this feeling, Mel, as well. It's such a beautiful feeling to be in that space of channeling those divine beings, and you're in it, and it's just like kind of time escapes you, and it's just this flow, and it just, it feels incredible. And then, you know, and then the timer goes off, or I come out of it and then realize, okay, I'm human, I'm on earth, I probably need to go do some washing and, you know, cook dinner or whatever it is that kind of, I guess, grounds me back to earth. But it's beautiful to have the combination of the two as well. Being grounded, practical, psychic and medium and channel is certainly a wonderful way to live. So that's, yeah, kind of, yeah, my path, I guess.
That's a really, really beautiful story. I hadn't realized that we both started in law too. So that's something else that we have in common. And I can definitely relate to the channeling as well, as I actually took time off seeing clients this year to channel books. And so I've been really in that creative space this year and just been really lucky to try and balance the channeling and the writing with family as well. So that's just been a really beautiful change for me this year. But one where, like, I've had to really grow and learn a lot as well, because if you want to channel for long periods of time, it's, I find that it comes through quite differently as well. You know, if you're channeling for like an hour, you can sort of hold that up. But over time, they've taught me to channel, you know, I guess maybe the most I've done is probably 6 or 7 hours now, which is a really long time. But as you said, you, when you're channeling, you're kind of like in this really divine and beautiful world, and time just escapes you. And then it's like, oh, now I have to do the washing and I've got to cook dinner and I've got to go and pick up the kids. So I can really relate to that, balancing out the heavenly world and the earthly world with family as well.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as probably you are as well, it's like we're on a bit of a divine mission, and coming from, like, I feel I'm from the angelic realm and kind of come down to earth and really need to ground my energy here. So it feels naturally so good just to be in that really blissful place. But my guides remind me that I'm here on a mission. And, you know, if I'm just sitting there meditating and channeling all the time, then the messages won't be passed on. And so I understand what they're saying with that and agree with them and get back, you know, through to whatever I need to do with my day and bring that energy into those, you know, that washing or that cooking or, and making, you know, the month mundane in a sense, magical as much as it can possibly be. I mean, sure, sometimes it's not always easy to do that, but when we can, I think that's also a nice energy to combine that beautiful heavenly energy with having fun washing up or whatever it might be. But that's really exciting about your book. I can't wait for that to come out.
Yeah. I don't know when it's going to come out or when it's going to evolve to the point of coming out, but I worked in journalism for many years and I always knew that I wanted to be a writer. I just didn't know that I was going to be able to write about beautiful things and use my channeling to write. So I feel like that's such a beautiful gift to share at this point in my life. We're here really to talk about the Ascended Masters today. And before we started this podcast, we were talking about Mary Magdalene. And I find that Mary Magdalene is this beautiful earth mother who really teaches us to embody all of our beautiful heavenly gifts and to bring them down and to embody them, you know, as a person walking on the earth, rather than being ungrounded in our spiritual gifts. How have you found working with her?
Yeah, well, for me, I really feel her as the twin flame energy of Jesus of Nazareth. So their beautiful energy, you know, combined I've always felt comes together, but in her own sort of feminine spiritual self or nature, she helps with that sense of unconditional love and allowing self to connect with the heart, as well as helping the teacher to awaken within and for people to share their message and to not be afraid to be seen as well, and to shine the light where it needs to be shone, and to step up into that space where you can share your messages lovingly. So she comes to me for those reasons a lot of the time, and that beautiful devotional energy in that twin flame capacity as well.
So today we are going to be talking about the Divine Ascended Masters. What are the Ascended Masters and how can they help us on our spiritual journey?
Beautiful question. So an Ascended Master is a higher being who can guide, help, heal, and teach us on our spiritual pathway. So for me, they feel like an energetic, you know, best friend or loving guide who can help us in many areas of our lives. So I found personally working with each Divine Master, they have like a divine, you know, unique essence or energy. And this is what begins to show up time and time again when we begin to work with them. So these beings are beautiful, spiritually enlightened energies who were like humans or who were humans, but who have undergone, you know, a series of spiritual transformations through those initiations. And they are great teachers and like prophets, saints, divas and gods or goddesses who previously walked upon the earth and have gone through that process of enlightenment themselves. So these beings have gained enlightenment out of a state of like that great compassion, really. And in most cultures throughout history, we honor these figures and sages and teachers for what they left behind and the stories that we can learn from them. So traditionally, their teachings were first introduced in the 1800s, and they offer so much beautiful divine wisdom and intelligence from a spiritual perspective.
And so they're different from angels, or do you find that overlaps?
So angels for me personally reside in the celestial realm, which is a little bit different to the Ascended Masters, where they are usually in that spiritual realm. And these realms are essentially different layers or dimensions of energy. So the angels just have a different vibration and frequency. However, you know, going back to that sentiment around like being the universe being a diamond, every angel or every Ascended Master is a beautiful facet or aspect of the divine as a whole. So we really all are as one. It's just I think for our own human understanding, we categorize them in different ways, so we have more of a context and an understanding as to how they are different. And essentially it's just different frequencies of energy. And with angels, there's also that, I guess, that hierarchical structure, not in the sense of better or worse in terms of which angels are, but more so they have a particular structure, like the archangels and the cherubim and the seraphim. So, and there's many others that are encompassed within that, which gives a general guidance structure. So they are, yeah, essentially just in, that's how I see how they differ.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful way to explain it. I also think the angels can also come in alongside the ascended masters. So for me, now when I connect with Mother Mary, before I go to sleep, I will ask for Mother Mary to come in and protect me, but then I'll also ask for her 1,000 angels to come in and basically surround the room, surround the house with protection. I find that their frequency can also come in together with the ascended masters, particularly Mary.
I love that, and I totally agree with you. And Carl Gray, for those of you who don't know, is a beautiful angel, and he works with ascended masters too. And he, one of his oracle decks really highlights that, and it's It's like the Lightkeepers, I think, or one of his decks anyway, are just so beautiful, and it combines those energies of the ascended masters and the angels and in a twin flame capacity. And it's that that sense of like Archangel Michael being with beautiful, like there's all like Archangel Michael and all of the different angels have a twin flame energy that kind of correlates to them, and it combines in the ascended masters often. So it's beautiful how there's a mix of angels and ascended masters in that deck, because I agree with you, I think their energies and frequencies can align or help us in certain ways, and it's, they must be riding a similar like wavelength in heaven or something, which is so nice.
Yeah, I love that. So how can the ascended masters help us with soul guidance and soul contract?
Yeah, great question. I love how the masters can help us with this, because it's often, you know, the ascended masters themselves who went through those extremely challenging trials and tribulations on earth and overcome them in life themselves. So due to their own heart, like their own soul evolution and growth, they are able to offer us a more enlightened or higher perspective on our own soul lessons and soul growth. So we're kind of here to unfold our consciousness and personally discover our connection to the universe through our life's experiences. So each ascended master can help us with the various components of that. So the ascended masters can help us with, you know, our own childhood, anything kind of going on there that we need assistance with, or motherhood or fatherhood, or, you know, justice or grief or romance or protection, or, you know, everything that kind of comes in, careers and human relationships and forgiveness. Like there's just so many areas that they can come and help us with, and our soul lessons and energies often connect all of those areas. So these experiences that connects to us shapes our learning and guides us through, you know, our own evolution to understand ourselves. And I think it's such a beautiful thing that the ascended masters can guide us and help us. And if we're going through a particularly difficult soul lesson, we can call on a particular ascended master and really ask for them to take us into the core issue, or have an understanding of why it's occurred, or what healing needs to take place, or how, you know, we can transform through that, or how we can bring light into that situation, or what is it that, or why we have signed up for that particular lesson. I think there's beauty in this knowing of why things are happening in our lives, that we don't have to live on autopilot, that we can have these opportunities to learn and grow, but it actually be meaningful and it actually be for evolution, as opposed to just happening to us. You know, life isn't happening to us, it's happening for us, is that beautiful saying. So, you know, to really know why though, and to go, okay, oh my gosh, I'm choosing to learn the lesson of, you know, how to love myself more through the breakdown of that, you know, marriage or whatever it might be, I think gives us just that little bit of hope and that understanding as to why this particular situation comes into our life. And that's where the Ascended Masters can shine the light on that.
Yeah, now that I think about it, they are actually so practical, aren't they?
They are, and I love that. I actually love the practicality and the divinity combined.
Because often we can think about angels or ascended masters as, oh, they're heavenly beings, you know, and they're way up in the divine. But if we haven't really connected with them that much, we can kind of think that's where they belong. But where they really thrive is here with us and helping us through really difficult lessons.
Totally. And they're those beautiful like sages and, you know, beings that guide us on the ground, and they can't wait for us to get, you know, start. They're just waiting, you know, anticipation for us to call upon them and lovingly guide us. And they've been through so much themselves that they have that learning under their own belt. So, and it's like them being able to pass that on, which is such a beautiful thing with it, I think.
Can we call in a particular ascended master? So say, for example, we would like to call in Mother Mary. Is that possible? And how do we do that?
Yes, definitely. So there's a beauty and a power in saying and meditating on their mystical names. So just by doing this is essentially invoking their energy. I would also suggest to people to raise their vibration and clear their mind and relax and ground their energy if possible before connecting. So, you know, going for a walk in nature, or, you know, just taking a few deep breaths in and calling in, you know, white light so you can be peaceful and calm. And so the session or that experience with the Ascended Master will really just flow. Once you've done that, you can then begin by connecting with these beings through that intention. So, you know, spiritual prayer and meditation, you know, prayer and meditation are really deeply receptive, and also journaling, which is both expressive and receptive, are all ways to connect in with the Ascended Masters. So write your intentions and trust that they will be received, and you can invoke them. And, you know, sometimes like if you wanted to call in Mother Mary and you're drawn to working with this particular master, there will be a reason for that. So just trust in the fact that if you are at a soul level drawn to a particular master, that you follow that guidance.
Yeah, I find that yoga in particular really helps me lift my vibration and clears my mind and gets me out of that space, just helps me connect in with that energy a lot deeper.
Definitely. Yoga and dance are so beautiful because, I agree with you. I love dancing in particular, or a combination of the two, because I think it's moving that life force energy through the body and opening up those channels, which then allows that connection to flow through more easily. And, you know, bringing your arms up into the air and bringing the white light down into your body and like pressing it into your body, or, you know, those beautiful particular yoga poses that open up the third eye and the throat chakra before connecting in can just create so much beautiful like vibrating life force in the body that opens the heart and allows that just to flow in, doesn't it? I love it as well. Do you have like, I have like a playlist that I play on Spotify or YouTube, and it's called my inner power building and meditation, like uplifting or something like that. And it has all these kind of like upbeat songs, and I love dancing around, and I actually do it before I do any readings and before I channel, because it allows that awakening of the body space in that. It's like psychosomatic, I guess, that breathing, energizing, awakening all of the cells in the body to receive all of that beautiful light that comes down. Do you have something like
that?
Yeah,
that's really good advice. Yes, I do. So I find that connecting with Mother Mary, she loves to connect to me through music. So I'll put some music on when I'm doing some yoga, and that just lifts my vibration, and I just really feel her presence because, you know, she has up in her space or in her frequency, She has a lot of choirs and a lot of angels that elevate her frequency. So I find it's different kind of music though. So she will tell me, so if I'm doing long periods of channeling, for example, I'll be guided to actually listen to choir music, or listen to opera style music. So different music to what I would normally listen to myself. But I find that that takes no effort whatsoever once I actually put that choir music on, and it just lifts my vibration immediately. And then everything they're trying to channel through me flows through. So they've actually taught me this technique for my writing. And so when I've actually hit a point where I've done too much, I don't feel like I can do anymore, they will simply send me a song, okay, like an opera or a choir style song. I'll put that on and the effect is immediate, and then it'll all drop through.
So powerful, such a powerful way to channel and to receive messages.
Yeah, and that's really the energy of Mother Mary, isn't it? Because she loves song and choir and angels.
Absolutely, and that beautiful celestial kind of harps and all of that gorgeous music is so great to connect in with that higher energy and increase your vibration, as you're saying, to be able to be in that space of channeling.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And what other ascended masters do you personally connect with?
There are many ascended masters that I really connect with over the years. And it's really interesting because sometimes I will be drawn to, or certain ones will come to me in the sense of what I'm going through in my life or the energies that my own soul is working through or working with. So some that I have connected with is Buddha. I'm really connecting with the Buddhist teachings, and Buddha in that sense of his energy comes through in this most beautiful way to me. The Greek god Apollo, who is the god of prophecy and psychic insights, I really have resonated with him so much over the years, and he is energies that help with opening up intuition. Mother Mary, as I know you do as well, and her energy is just so beautiful. The mother of Jesus, she's the queen of the angels, and I just, yeah, she just has the most like loving heart and presence when I feel her or when I invoke her, and it's just like this beautiful warm kind of hug from heaven and from her soul is what I feel. Similar to Kuan Yin is that Chinese Buddhist mother, the goddess of, you know, love and compassion and mercy. I really connect with her. She really helped me when I was going through my own mothering journey and transitioning from maiden to mother, along with, you know, the Egyptian goddess Hathor too. I worked with their energies closely because it was such a huge transition, and I felt their presence and their love and their support throughout that journey and into that postpartum stage as well. Some of the other ones I love too is like Saint Francis with his connection with animals. And I love Saint Germain. Saint Germain has been one of my like all-time favorites and go-to. I love blazing the violet cleansing flame, you know, around my being and allowing that beautiful energy to kind of shift away as well. And I'd have to say Ganesh. I love the Hindu elephant god Ganesh. He just like clears all the pathways, tramples kind of everything that needs to be trampled along that path. If there are, you know, any obstacles, he's somebody who I pop his statue or a little picture of him in my suitcase when I travel overseas, and he just keeps me safe and protected. So I really love his energy as well. There's so many, isn't there? There's just like all of the Egyptian gods and goddesses, like, you know, some that come to mind is Horus. Like, I love Horus. I think because I'm, you know, I love the third eye and the psychic connections, and beautiful Isis, that high goddess and priestess of, you know, high magic. She is beautiful too. And Maat is a goddess who is all about fairness and justice. So calling and evoking her energy can be really beneficial as well. There's so many, isn't there? I don't know how many you want me to say, but there's just, yeah, I think they kind of, for me, the Ascended Masters come in that space of they connect with different cultures and traditions as well. And I find, you know, the Hindu gods and goddesses like Ganesh, who I mentioned before, and Lakshmi or Saraswati and Krishna and Shiva, they all have like their distinctive kind of energies. And for me, Ascended Masters have that unique essence or energy, or if you like, that kind of signature kind of energy when they show up for me. And it's like that really beautiful, loving, you know, best friend. And I think that's what's really been such a wonderful thing to experience when connecting with them. Yeah, is that they will show up for you and you'll develop that connection with each and every one of them in a different capacity. I know that when I was starting to work with the Ascended Masters, they would show me that they were like facets of a diamond. So if you think about the universe being like a beautiful, bright, sparkling diamond, the Ascended Masters were saying to me that they are, you know, those facets of the shining diamond, and each one of them is a different aspect or facet, but makes up the whole. And I loved this vision that I received from them about this, because it kind of highlighted to me that they are aspects of the divine, and those aspects also reside and are within each and every one of us as well. So, you know, everybody is equal, and I love that that comparison to that diamond energy, and for them to be able to show up, as I was saying before, with that different essence or signature to help us in different areas of our lives is really beautiful. So I hope I answered that question for
you. Yeah, I love that. And so when they come through to you, how does that kind of differ in terms of how they come through with your psychic gifts and your mediumship gifts? Because I think they probably come through differently for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important for people to understand that difference between, you know, psychic readings and mediumship readings and working with divine beings and channeling them in that particular way. Psychic readings give, you know, people clear messages about past, present, or future, and they, you know, can also be a combination of all three, but essentially a psychic reading is about tuning into the aura, and certain tools may be used, such as, you know, oracle cards through that. But psychic readings are about predicting possible pathways that are likely to occur for the person. Whereas a mediumship reading is when you connect, and you would know this, with the spirit world, and you connect in with a loved one who has departed, and then evidence is provided and detailed information, and then often a healing message comes with the ability to bring through messages from the departed loved one. So it is different in the sense of, say, connecting in with a higher being, where often it is in a space of, it can be a few different ways, but often it's then in that space of invoking or calling in and sitting with the energy and allowing that Ascended Master to connect with you and merge with your energy and your heart space and flow through either healing energy or through, you know, channeling, which channeling is a really it's such a beautiful thing to do. It does require, though, a lot of time, practice, patience, energy. Often for me personally, I do this through automatic writing. So I go into meditation and I feel the presence of the Ascended Master, whether that's them coming to me, or if it's I'm invoking a particular Ascended Master to speak with and commune with. And then, yeah, it tends to, I see them through my clairvoyance, and then hear them through my clairaudience. And then it forms part of this process of, writing a beautiful automatic writing channeling session with the high being. And it often, flows beautifully. Sometimes I have questions prepared before I go into the session. So it's really intentional, and it's can be, say if I've got an event coming up or I'm writing a workshop, I'll be connecting with that deity or that light being and asking them for that creative process. What do people need to learn, or what would they like me to teach in that space? And downloading this through that channeling process. And often it's through hand scribbled notes. So I have plenty of journals that are just full of really messy handwriting. And that's what I encourage people to do when they're channeling is make it raw and real and sit there and just allow those words to flow on the page. And the hardest part about it is just to get started. So allowing it to just flow through, and that's where having those prepared questions can be really helpful, because it's like having a, you know, two-way conversation with the divine or with that particular ascended master, where if you want to know something, then they always want to answer it and answer it with love and clarity. So I find, yeah, if people can prepare in that way, then it can be really helpful for them to receive the messages and the answers. Not everybody is a medium or not everybody is a channel, but I think they, in terms of channeling, people can certainly develop this skill, I believe. It just does take a lot of, yeah, patience and practice.
Yeah, so I find for me, it depends on, I guess, what I'm going through in my life to who kind of shows up. You know, I've been going through a lot of different transformational experiences over the last couple of years, as we all have. My main ascended masters who I connect with, who are usually related to the Holy Family and the angels, I find that other ones will come in as well. Like, as you said, the Egyptian ascended masters love to come in and they love to teach you how to work creatively and through that womb space. And I find they're really helpful in channeling, with channeling my book as well, because they're teaching me another way how to work with spirit. Which I guess is different from doing a mediumship reading or doing a psychic reading for somebody else. So I love that they teach us just to move back to our creative self and move back into that soul space. So do you find for you that they're a part of your main spirit team, or do you find that they're quite separate from your main spirit team?
I find certain ascended masters I work with on an ongoing basis, because just because of that, you know, that love or that sense of connectedness that I feel with particular ones, like Kuan Yin, like I was mentioning before, I often call upon her for various reasons, but it really does depend on, yeah, what you are going through in life and what season you're in and where your emotions are at and what kind of energy that you need. Because it's beautiful that the ascended masters are, you know, those gorgeous beings who have lived and walked the earth like us humans and have undergone their own series of spiritual, you know, transformations and, you know, initiations as well. So them being those great teachers and prophets and saints and gods and divas and goddesses, they really have gone through those processes of, I guess, like enlightenment. So I think, and they've gone through that beautiful space of being able to be in that compassion, which is what I think, you know, many of them are able to pass on to us depending on what we're going through. So for example, for me, if like, I'm about to run a workshop coming up on release and transform and liberating yourself from energies with Goddess Kali. And she has been a goddess who has worked with me over many years now. And she's a fierce goddess. She is the wrathful form of the goddess. And she shows up in my life when I have some really huge stuff to heal, shift, move, or lots of like changes coming in. And I used to feel maybe a little bit of fear or feel scared to work with her. And I think that's just a human feeling because of how intense maybe her energy is. But she's like a beautiful mother, you know, watching over her young, who maybe they're going to put their hand on the hot plate, and she, you know, lovingly directs them away from that. But it's just this intensity of what maybe the situation of what you're going through your life is, and then having to navigate through that. So I find she's a goddess, like a little bit like Hecate. Like Hecate is a goddess who's very intense, like in her energy, but ultimately they bring so much love and guidance to, and truth to what you're going through, and they're able to help guide you through it. So I think it really depends. And I think they absolutely do want to be a part of our spirit team. We can call on them. They can be there for certain periods of our life. And then they may leave for certain aspects of our life as well, if we're not necessarily in that energy or season.
And so for anyone who hasn't worked with them yet, how would you suggest that they could start to call them in and connect with them?
Great question. So there are a number of ways that you can connect to the Ascended Masters if they are new to you, or you're coming into just sort of hearing about them. And they are beautiful, universal, spiritual guides for everybody. So true intention from the heart is often felt if we call to the Masters. So they will feel this beautiful energy from your heart as a call to them, to bring them into your life if you need help in a particular area. There are often, you know, special like invocations or spiritual prayers, though, that can be said with loving reverence and respect to invoke the energy of a particular ascended master as well, light being or, you know, deity. I would suggest becoming familiar with the Ascended Masters, and you can find out about them through, there's so many beautiful books and spiritual teachings that are widely available, and there are also many spiritual teachers who offer such a beautiful wealth of knowledge and wisdom about who these beings are and how you can work with them and what areas of your life you can work with them in. There are certain ones that help with, you know, health or love or self-love, or as I was saying with Carly, you know, release and transformation, and with mothers who might need some extra love and nurturing, such as Kuan Yin or Hathor or Isis, the Egyptian goddess, is really beautiful to call on for that too. So that's where I would start with, yeah, people who are new to working with the Ascended Masters.
And often you just feel, I know for me, I just feel drawn to a particular master. And so I feel like if you've had someone like, I know we haven't mentioned Merlin yet, but I have a friend who works with Merlin a lot, and he just came out of nowhere for her. And she was just intuitively connecting with Merlin for no particular reason. And now they've developed their relationship over a couple of years. And he comes in for her and helps her, you know, with life situations and with her client situations. So it's really a relationship too, isn't it?
Definitely. It's funny that you mentioned Merlin, because I really love working with his energy. And it's so true that he actually most of the time shows up for people when they're ready to work with him. And he's that divine, you know, wizard alchemist who is amazing with turning anything into, like, in the forms of manifestation. And yeah, he requires, though, for people to work with him in a really respectful way. And I love that. And he often asks us to show up and do the work. So if you're going to call on Merlin, you have to be really prepared to really dedicate yourself to working with transforming yourself from within and owning your own stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And they all have like their own beautiful way of bringing healing. So for me, like you, Carly was coming in at different times of transformation for me, and she would literally, I guess you could call it, burn anything that wasn't working in my life, but then not just leave me, but actually direct me back onto the right path. And so I've worked with her energy as well, and I love getting out her. I have a really beautiful picture of her in one of my drawers. And anytime I'm going through a hard time, I'll get that picture out and I just offer it up to her, and she literally just, I guess, chews it up, chews it up, spits it out, and transforms it into something great. So I've worked with her quite a bit. Merlin started coming in after he was coming in for my girlfriend, because I can find they're all connected too. So if I'm, you know, working with a particular teacher or a particular student, or I have a friend working with someone in particular, I actually find that they'll start coming in for me as well. Have you found that as well?
Yeah, I love the synchronicities. Even tonight, Mel, before we got onto this podcast chat, like both you and I had set up an altar, and we were honoring the both of us equally were honoring those energies of Mary Magdalene, and we hadn't even spoken about that. So I think that's the divine and Mary Magdalene's energy working through us in such a beautiful way and shining the light on this situation. And I find that the divine also and the ascended masters have a bit of a sense of humor, or cheeky in that way, because I find that that's so sweet that that's happened. And sometimes like the universe never surprises me, and I'm constantly in awe of just little things like that happening that show that there's so much interconnectedness, and just the divine presence is around us, and it flows to and from us and through us, and with their beautiful light as well, just shining over this whole podcast chat.
Yeah, I love Mary Magdalene. So I had been working with her really deeply for about a year, because I'll just give you an example of how you can call on the Ascended Masters for help. So for me, I had been experiencing very, very painful periods, and for weeks at a time, I was just in so much pain. And so I had just called for help. Basically, I didn't actually specify anyone specific. I had just asked for help, please help me with this. And it was Mary Magdalene who came in, and it was a year's worth of initiation, really, really deep initiations and transformations within that womb space. So I really went through those womb mysteries with her. I really went through those blood mysteries with her, and was really initiated into her energy. And she showed me how to work with the womb space. And once she completed the clearing, which took a year of really hard work, and also included other masters such as Mother Mary, Jesus, or Yeshua, however you want to connect with him. And anyway, I found it at the end of it. I don't have that pain anymore. It's gone. It's gone. So for the last 3 months in a row, I've had my period, and I've gone from crippling pain to no pain whatsoever for 3 months straight.
Oh, how powerful is that? That beautiful divine healing taking place with you and through them, and in a combination of that year-long journey that you have shared with them.
Yeah,
so perfect.
Yeah. So I feel like that's kind of like also, if you haven't connected with them before and you feel like you do have a particular problem, you don't have to specify anyone in particular. You can literally just pray and ask for help and ask for divine guidance, and the right person will come in.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know as well from my own personal experience too that they don't want to make it complicated for us. They want to make it easy for us to connect in with them. And just by, yeah, as you were saying, asking and tuning into your own intuition and being able to find a quiet space and going into meditation and calling upon them can really call to them to help you. I know also, Mel, that I love, and we were talking about altars, I love altars so much too. It's been such a huge part of my life in terms of setting up an altar that really honors the energy and is a sign of respect for an ascended master. And you can, I think, really call to them and work with them in that way too, by having a statue or some items on there that are really meaningful and respecting their energy in that way, and being able to sit in that kind of quiet space and meditate with an altar can also just be a really lovely and simple way to call in the energy too. So I think there's a lot of different ways, and I love that they show up, like, regardless of how we do it or how we say it, and it's so beautiful that they can help every one of us. Like, everybody has access to their help, and I think it's a really important message as well.
Yeah, and I feel like if you, like, right in the beginning of learning about your spiritual gifts, if you haven't developed any psychic capacity, if you haven't developed any mediumship capacity, I still feel like if you connect into your heart, I still feel like you'll be able to feel their energy come through.
Most definitely. It's all about that love in the heart and just having that genuine intention to connect with that that master or that deity, or for the reasons that, you know, each and every one of us deserve that beautiful love and that help and that guidance. It helps to have the intuition, and I believe everybody is intuitive and everyone can develop that, but it's certainly not a prerequisite to working with the ascended masters, that's for sure.
I definitely don't think it is. So my husband, he's not psychic or a medium or anything, and he's not really on the spiritual path, but I feel like he's probably been dragged into the spiritual path because he's with me. I know my daughter definitely has, but I feel like he has, even though he can't see them and he can't really feel their presence very much, he still has ascended masters coming through. So helping him and guiding him. So I think it also helps if you feel called to find, you know, if you're wanting to work on your spiritual gifts, having a few sessions with a psychic medium or a spiritual teacher such as yourself just really lifts those gifts up quite quickly as well, or doing Reiki, studying Reiki as well. So there's many ways that you can connect in with your intuition and then form a relationship with the ascended masters.
Most definitely. And, you know, by developing your clairs as well and opening up your centers of intuition and being able to expand those is really helpful. And I always say, you know, just being able to be relaxed and let go of any fear or doubt or judgment, or, you know, what happens if it's my voice, or letting go of kind of all of that. And just if feeling nervous, you know, that beautiful saying of if you feel nervous, focusing on service, and just asking for that genuine guidance and being open to the possibilities and the healing messages and, yeah, what you may or may not feel. And sometimes it isn't about, you know, seeing them tangibly or even necessarily hearing them. It's about the feeling, the love and the presence. And they will show you ways as well, as in through oracle cards or signs from the universe. So sometimes it can be in indirect or more subtle ways. And that's also perfectly okay as well.
Yeah, because we were just talking about connecting in, spirit connecting in to us through songs. So it could be through nature, through songs, through flowers, lots of different ways that they send signs.
Absolutely. I have a really cool story to tell you about how Carly showed up to me, because I often get this little bit of a, oh, like, there's Carly coming in again, what do I need to release, kind of thing. She gives me a bit of a heads up, I guess you could say, when I feel her presence come. And I was running a spiritual course called Ignite Your Intuition a little while ago now, and I had felt for a while I was needing to start some spiritual empowerment circles, and I felt her energy coming to me, and one of the reasons why her energy was coming to me was to help me release some of my own birth trauma that I went through with my son over the last year. And it was something that I had been, I guess, not necessarily intentionally putting off, but, you know, being a new mum, Michael had reflux. It was really quite a challenging year. I had barely had any sleep. So you kind of push your own healing to the back, and especially being a mum as well. But over this last, like, maybe 6 months, I felt Carly coming in around me being like, come on, it's time to release this birth trauma. We don't want you to hold on to this any longer. And so I was like, surrendered into the energy, and it was such a blessing. And having that realization that I needed to do that was wonderful. But she also said to me, okay, it's time to do this. And it's time to run a workshop so others can also have the opportunity to release. And I said to her, okay, if you really, really want me to do this, I need you to show me like a really clear sign from you. So I was driving home from the spiritual course that I was running, and I had finished for the day, and here I am driving home, and at the lights, I pull up at the traffic lights and I look to my right, and in bold like writing, there was like Carly restaurant services or something. Wow. Like really. And I just thought, oh, what a cheeky way to to bring that.
Wow.
I'd only just been like asking, you know, show me a sign, and there's a sign that comes through. So you can ask the universe, please bring like a sign to me that you are connecting with me. And the beautiful, you know, ascended masters will bring through things like that, where it's just so tangibly obvious that there's no other way that it could be anything else.
Oh, I love that so much. And they often come to us when we need to do the difficult work, because then we don't have to do it ourselves. We always have someone there.
Yeah, like a best friend, like giving you that support and love and truth. And I think they also shine the light on maybe what we are not ready to see, prepared to see, want to see, but it's in our best interest to see. So there's that opportunity to, if you're willing to go into that self-reflective space of, wanting to know what it is and wanting to kind of transform and liberate yourself from that pain, it can be so incredible to be able to go on that journey, and hard and difficult and messy and all of that. But in particular, not always, like the Ascended Masters bring through so much joy and light too. But in terms of, what I'm referring to with, birth trauma and Carly, it's intense, but it does transform, and you can rise then above that trauma and pain in order to free yourself and have a better life as a result of processing the emotions and the trauma from certain situations.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is that you get to teach others about it as well. So other people get to be surrounded in her energy and have her healing frequency as well for any difficulties that they're going through as well. So it's sort of like, starts with you, and then that journey continues on onto someone else. You can like bring that gift of their teachings onto somebody else.
And Mel, I absolutely love that. I love seeing people have these moments of like these aha moments or these deep, like just visceral, heart-based healing moments, which is like, that's why I do it. And that's why I, you know, run courses or events or anything, because it's just like this amazing thing to witness other people have these experiences that I know is going to transform their life for the better, and they get to be free of that suffering or that pain and invite more joy in ultimately, because I think that's what we're really here for, is to live joyfully and to have fun and to experience all the wonders of what being a human, you know, is to be. And we can do that when we transform through those soul lessons and that pain, and there's beauty in that too. There's such beauty in that. So I love that you said that, because it's such a privilege as well. It's such a privilege to be able to hold space for people and give them a container where they can really heal in.
Yeah, it's such a gift. And so what would you recommend for people who do already have their spiritual business or who are healers or psychics or mediums? How would you recommend for them to bring them in as a part of their healings or their psychic readings, mediumship readings, as a part of their service?
To answer that, I would say that it's all about tuning into your own connection as to who you feel guided, like who you feel guided as a healer or a psychic or a medium, and which deities you work with, in order to then create a really soulful service that you offer that honors the energy of that being or of that teaching, with an intention then to serve the greater good. Like, this is, I think, what it's about, like really just kind of sitting with your own soul and thinking about your own soul purpose and what it is that is your own unique mission. What are you here to offer? And then being able to just have that time and space to allow whatever it is naturally to flow through to you, in terms of how that's then downloaded and then offered to, you know, the world. I think everyone does things in such a unique way. And I was thinking, you know, in terms of like, if you see other people working with, you know, the same goddess, or I like to view that as like an amplification of that Ascended Master's energy, or, you know, because everybody works with them in that really unique and beautiful way, and their soul is obviously drawing that particular Ascended Master to them. So I think this is a wonderful thing that we're light workers, if you like to call us, can spread the light and awareness of different beings in your own kind of unique way. But it is really important, I think, to just follow the guidance of your heart and the voice of your own intuition, and incorporate that into your own business as a spiritual healer or psychic or teacher in the way that feels most natural and resonant to your own soul, and not kind of looking at what other people are doing. I think that's really important nowadays, because it can be tricky, I guess, with social media and seeing what everybody else is doing. But it's so important to come back into your own heart and just really go within.
So as we're coming to the end now, do you have any events that are coming up?
Yes, yeah, so I have some events coming up that have been in the works, and there are some spiritual empowerment circles that I've got planned. They are a mix of online and in person. The next one coming up is, I believe, on the 25th of October, and I'm really excited it'll be an online one. And then I'm going to be running another Ignite Your Intuition course next February. And hopefully I'll be doing another spirit guides course and some spiritual self-care courses as well coming up. But you're welcome to find me at nataliefinn.com, or jump on my Facebook or Instagram with the same names as well. And yeah, I look forward to connecting with all of you. And I'm so grateful, to be here today.
It's been so nice chatting with you again, Natalie, and seeing you again.
It is always a blessing to see you, my darling. And thank you again for having me on today. It was, gorgeous.
Thank you so much. I'm Mel Sienna Medgwick, and you've been listening to the Love, Soul, Miracles and Magic podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at The Rose Mother. Thank you so much for listening.